listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. If you're joining us in the future, we recorded this, I think it's April 17th, 2 days after tax day in 2024. And we're seeing all sorts of great things happen in the industry. Seasons are opening up and people are getting their boats ready, and others in the southern part of the United States are already fishing, and they're enjoying the sport as we've all come to love. So anyway, we're all excited about the new season coming up and seeing what it with it holds. Today we have a guest from the Houston area of Texas. He fishes Lake Conroe, which is about a 21,000, I guess, acre lake down out of Houston. And lives on the lake and has some great stories and some great history to share with us. I'm not going to steal his thunder. His name is Ray Hunt. And Ray, are you with us?
I am, Ted. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Ray?
Doing great, man. Thank you.
Terrific. Well, in our pre-show talk, it sounds like you were already on the water today.
On the water, yes, sir. Just we finally had a day here that the wind wasn't so bad. We've been having a lot of windy days here, so I thought I'd take advantage of a little bit this morning and get out there and see what's happening.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, Ray, you know, I know that you got started fishing as a young person, you know, a number of years ago. Tell us about how you got such a passion for the sport to becoming a professional guide fishing Lake Conroe.
Well, it goes way back. It didn't start on Conroe, but
right.
I was born in West Virginia. My dad was a coal miner, and we lived and pretty much vacationed, stayed on a river in West Virginia called New River. And I say lived there because we were the coal miners. We'd get a 2 week vacation and we'd be there for 2 weeks. Every weekend we was on the river. So I just grew up around the water. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I always had a passion for water and always fished. And he developed a lung disease that coal miners get, a lot of them, called black lung disease.
Yeah.
So he had to get out of the coal mines. So we moved to Houston in the 60s and been here ever since. Fished a lot of waters around here, many of the lakes and rivers here. But through the years, ended up on Lake Conroe.
Oh, I'll be darned. Now the New River in West Virginia, I actually know a little about. That's a river that has a lot of the smallmouth bass and trout in it and that sort of thing. Am I correct?
It is, yeah. Uh-huh. Smallmouth bass is very prominent in New River, walleye. You just don't get in a boat with a motor on it and take off in New River. You use pretty much a rubber raft for that river. So you'll have falls and shoals and that type of deal.
Shallow
waters.
Yeah. And you were fishing for bronzebacks there, smallmouth and that sort of thing?
We had what we call red eyes. It's almost like, I guess you'd call bluegill here, but we had red eyes and catfish and smallmouth bass was pretty much what we went after. And I was a small kid, but that's pretty much what my dad would always fish for when we grew up catching.
Yeah, I'll be darned. I'll be darned. Cool. Now, how old were you when you moved to Houston then?
I was 8 years old.
8 years old. Wow. You were still a young guy at that point.
I was.
Yeah. Now, did you immediately start?
Yeah. That was.
did you immediately start fishing Lake Conroe? Were you living around the lake at that time?
No, at that time, when we first got here, we didn't know where to go, what to do. And, you know, I always kid people. I mean, I tell people, remember that show, The Beverly Hillbillies?
I do, Jed.
We loaded up one vehicle. And, that's my mom and dad. That's what we were like. Everything they owned, including the family, was in that 59 Ford.
Oh,
that
my.
We made the trip from West Virginia to Texas.
Uh-huh.
the only person we knew that lived outside of what we call the Holler, West Virginia, was my uncle, who played football for the Houston Oilers at the time.
No kidding.
So
really?
We came down here, and he told, you know, told my mom, you know, y'all come down here. So we did, and made a fresh start of life. And so, you know, like I say, best move parents could have ever done for us.
Uh-huh.
And we tried other rivers and other lakes here, some good. We have a big lake called Lake Livingston. It's a very good fishing lake. We were there for a while, fished it, but it was just kind of further out from us from Houston.
Uh-huh.
And through the years, living in Houston, and then about 4 years ago, I had the opportunity to move north of Houston and ended up on Lake Conroe. But I have fished Conroe since the late 70s.
So I'm very familiar with it. Very good. So what is the species of fish that you fish for in Lake Conroe mainly?
Mainly, it depends on if I'm by myself, I like to try to go after largemouth bass and crappie.
Got it. Okay.
But when I have people out, it's, you know, a lot of them will want to have some meat, so they want catfish, and a lot of them are wanting largemouth bass.
Right. And I understand the catfishing on Lake Conroe is just outstanding. And you've got, what, two different or maybe even three different species of catfish, don't you?
We do. It's more prominent with the channel cats.
Uh-huh.
We have a lot of channel cats, and we also have blue cats. And then we call yellow cats, or, you know, there's the blues and yellow cats, but mostly it's the blue cat and the channel cats.
Got it. And the blues get pretty big there, don't they?
They do. I think as far as with the rod and reel, the record, if I'm not mistaken, is like 98 pounds or something like that.
Holy mackerel. Really?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Wow.
With the rod and reel.
That'd put a smile on some guy's or gal's face, wouldn't it? Holy.
Yeah, that was a blue catfish. It was 99 pounds with rod and reel.
Wow.
I think that still holds a record, and believe it or not. And I'm sorry, the 99 was caught on a trough line, and that way back in that was, I think, 85. And that, as far as a trawl line, I don't know if that's been broke yet. I don't think it has.
Right. I'll be darned. Mm-hmm. Now, is Lake Conroe, is it a reservoir or a true lake? What's the makeup of it?
It's a man-made lake.
Uh-huh.
It was originally, Ted, back years ago, I think it in the 50s, there was about a seven-year drought, from what I understand.
Okay.
And Houston is south of Conroe. It's a big town, Houston, Texas. And so they got together with what the San Jacinto River Authority, which is the authority that's over Lake Conroe. And so they originally had built Lake Conroe as a water supply for Houston in case there was ever another drought.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it came about. I think they started it in the 60s, building it, and then they finished it in 73.
Oh, okay,
so
wow.
It took a few years to build it.
Right.
And since then, it was like, I think, 2015, more recently, Conroe has grown so much that they come to an agreement with Houston and its authorities to where Conroe was actually dipping into the lake itself to supply water. So
no kidding.
Yeah,
really
very useful. Yeah.
Wow. And Lake Conroe then, is a recreational lake also. Weren't you mentioning there's water skiing and swimming and that sort of thing also in the lake?
It is. In the late seventies, it was really good fishing, bass fishing especially. It had a lot of hydrilla and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it was not so much a recreational lake at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And fishing was very good, bass fishing.
Uh-huh.
But what happened is really started taking over.
Oh.
And so the powers to be, they brought a bunch of grass carp in to eat hydrilla. Well, their plan worked, but unfortunately for fishermen, it hurt, because within 2 years, they had took out every bit of the hydrilla the grass carp had.
Wow.
And the fish, it just changed their pattern completely.
Uh-huh.
And so you had to learn how to fish in the open lakes, find humps, drop-offs, and things like that. And then through the years, after Christmas, pretty much, everybody gets to, not everybody, but a lot of people get together and they drop off their Christmas trees to the Texas Parks and Wildlife.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And then they have a day to where they'll go out and put these Christmas trees and drop them off in the different parts of the lake for fish habitat to help the fish. So you got to try to find those spots. And because if I say you just can't pull up what you used to do around the hydrilla and, you know, fish delivery pads and things like that.
Since
it's not there anymore. So it made the fishing a lot tougher for this lake when they did that. And then through the years, it's come back. The grass carp eventually died out.
Yeah.
In the 90s somewhere, I think it finally died out. So the lake, as far as bass fishing, it's really made a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you got to be able to find what we call the brush piles and some, you know, humps and things like that, especially during the summer months.
Right, right. For
the largemouth.
Now, how deep of a lake is Conroe?
You can find the average, if you just take an overall average, it's about 20 feet.
Oh.
But you're going to have your sections with 30 feet, 40 feet.
Right.
There's a few spots that does reach the 50s. But, you know, generally it's in the 40s. But your overall, you can call it 20 feet. The average is 20 feet.
Wow. That'd be considered fairly shallow, would it not?
It would be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be darned. Well, that is cool. So you fish out of a particular marina there on Lake Conroe, is that right?
No, it's not a marina. I just, my wife and I, we live in a subdivision on the lake, in private subdivision.
Uh-huh.
And I meet my customers here and pick them up. We just go from here. I'll pick them up on the lake.
Oh, okay.
Go from here.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, ago you were talking about recreational, and I was going to mention the other thing about Conroe is it's kind of like what we call is a north end and a south end.
Okay.
After we got through all the hydrilla and carp tearing them all, you know, messing the fishing up, well, Conroe started growing and people started buying houses and building houses on the waterfront.
Oh, okay.
So when they did this, it's more so we have a road called 1097. It's a bridge that kind of goes across, you know, it goes east and west.
Right.
Across the lake. And so we call everything from the 1097 bridge the south, going south.
Oh, got
it. The south end of the lake is pretty much what has turned recreational.
Oh, okay.
And so you've got to contend with your boaters, your jet skis, and that type of deal.
Right.
But 1097 north, going that way, it still has a lot of your tree stumps and things like that to where your recreationals don't really go that area. So it's kind of like broke up in two parts of the lake.
Ah, okay. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It's a very busy lake.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen pictures of your boat. You have a pretty cool boat, a very comfortable one to fish the lake on. Tell us more about that.
Well, I appreciate that, but I used to have the bass boats, and when I was doing the bass tournaments, things like that. But as I've gotten a little older, it's just harder for me to get up and down in the bass boats. So
yeah.
I elected to go with a pontoon this time, and I got to tell you, I just I may not get there as quick as what I used to, but I get there and I don't feel beat up.
Right. Yeah, good point. Good point.
I can get up and walk around, and it makes it easy. I've had several customers comment, especially if they bring their family and stuff out of kids. You know, they really enjoy to be able to walk around it. They're not confined to just sit in one spot.
Right. So
it's worked out good for me.
Yeah, it's a cool boat. Very, very comfortable, I would imagine. And it sounds like you do fish a lot of families and kids and people that are just maybe getting started in the sport. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the way it seems. I guess to say it in a polite way, I mean, the people who fish pretty much full time or a lot, they pretty much have a boat usually.
Right, right.
So the people that reach out to me usually don't have a boat, or bringing their grandkids who haven't been on a boat yet, or even their own kids that have not been on a boat.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I really enjoy that, because you let the kids, they catch that first fish. Boy, you just see the excitement. The smiles come on their face. And so it's quite rewarding.
Yeah, it is. They get a permagrin, don't they? I mean, and then they're converted for life. You're setting a culture up, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I can see them have fun. And then you've got your others, the adults, and that's kind of a hit and miss. You don't know what you're going to get, because some people say, yeah, I want to come, I want to go bass fishing.
Right.
Okay, we can do that. But bass fishing, Ted, once again, I'm not trying to be rude, but you just don't pick up a rod and reel and just throw it in water and a bass jumps on it. I mean, there's a technique to it.
True.
And you know, it's a little finesse you've got to learn. And sometimes, you know, the people get it. Sometimes they don't. And it's just halfway through, I'll suggest, say, hey, you want to go try something else?
Right, right. Yeah, I'll be darned. And does the lake have both largemouth and smallmouth, or is it primarily largemouth?
Primarily largemouth. Is it? Largemouth. There's some hybrids.
Yeah.
Hybrids.
And then you mentioned that you fish for crappie also. I would imagine I've got listeners out there that are not familiar with what a crappie is, just depending on what part of the world they're from. Can you tell us about the crappie in Lake Conroe?
Well, crappie, that's what they're called here. Some people, depending where you're from, they're called crappie.
Yeah.
Right? So they're crappies and crappies. But it's just a pan fish, and I got to tell you, it's one of the most sought after fishes there is. It's very good eating, pan fish. It's really good.
Right.
I don't know how to explain what they are, but Conroe is, we have them, but it's not, it's the bass fishing to be better than the crappie. We're known more for the catfish than we are for the crappie fishing.
Right, right. And in my part of the world, they call the crappie paper mouths.
Right. Very small, soft mouths. You want to fish with the right tackle for those, for sure.
Yeah, and they're kind of like, they look like a large bluegill or sunfish, or you know, one of those types of panfish that you catch. And I would imagine it's no different on Conroe, is it?
It's not. No, that's a good description. Yes.
Yeah, they're delicious eating. Gosh, they're
really
amazing.
Are.
Yeah, and then of course the catfish. I mean, how many catfish can people catch in a day? Is there a limit at Conroe?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, thank goodness. There is a limit of 25 per person.
Holy moly! Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we have an abundance of catfish here. That's fine.
If somebody wants to take out their family and just provide a lot of action, you know, during the day, I would imagine catfishing is one of those good options for that. But are you know, you, as a family of four can take 100 fish out? That's incredible. Yeah.
And the other thing is, when you got kids and stuff too, if you want some action, is bluegills. I mean, there's quite a few bluegills, and they have fun catching those. And those bluegills, man, they put up a good little fight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. How big do they get in Conroe?
You know, a good size one is probably about 8 to 10 inches, but normally about 6 inches.
That's still a nice size bluegill, isn't it? Yeah.
We have some hefty ones here.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. That's cool. So what's a typical day on the water with you? What do you tell people when they say what am I going to experience, you know, in my day of fishing?
Well, when I'm talking to them on the phone, I kind of like to get an idea, just like we talked about a while ago, your experience level. And they say, well, I just want to catch something, or I want to catch bass, but I want to catch something. So then I'll ask them, do you know how to throw a bait cast reel? Do you know how to do a spinner reel?
Right.
And that tells me a lot who I'm dealing with.
True.
And if they do, I know I've got something to work with. Once again, I'm not trying to be rude. It's just I have to get through that process to know, because you just, once again, the ones that say, oh, yeah, I can do that. Well, they get out there, and the first time they throw the bait cast, you know, 10 minutes trying to get bird's nest out.
That's right. They're not thumbing the spool or anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I've actually went out and bought some closed reels. Just for that, you know, because some people are just not up to date because they don't do it all the time, which is understandable.
Right.
You know? So I've got some closed reels for that. Now I'll rig that up for bass if that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll tell them, okay, well then if you're open to this, what we'll do is just like I was telling you about brush piles and little drop offs out in the middle of this lake.
Right.
Especially in the summer months, we're fixing to start getting into, you know, a little bit hotter weather. The fish will go deeper, of course, when they get around the brush piles. So I said, what we'll do is as we approach an area that we're going to fish, we'll stay off of it and we'll throw for bass and we'll try for bass to start at that particular spot. And then from there, we'll move a little bit closer. And we'll try for bluegill or crappie open for that. Oh, yeah, we'll do that. So then from there, once that doesn't work or we catch enough of those, then what we'll do is move almost on top of the brush pile, and then we'll fish for catfish.
Oh, really?
So in any given area, I like to try to get all three worked in there. It just depends on how that individual is able to work a reel, to be honest. They know how to cast or not.
Right, right.
And I'll spend time with them trying to show them how to cast, and that takes a little bit of time.
Well, I would imagine they appreciate that, because there's nothing worse than getting on a boat and not understanding how the rigging and the poles and that sort of thing work, and it can be a miserable day if you don't have some instruction a lot of the times, you know? And
right.
So that's... sounds like you do a great job of that. What, now, how many hours is a typical trip with you?
I'm going to do 5 hours. But by the time we get through running around and going from this spot to that spot or picking them up, taking them back, it's a 5-hour day. But, you know, typically the fishing is at least 4 hours. You just got to allow for run around time.
Yeah. And I mean, in an hour's worth of running around out of 5 hours is not much. You're not having people endure 2 hours of running through a rough lake to go fishing. It sounds like you can put them on it right away. That's great. That is great. And in regards to people wanting to take home some fish to eat, do you provide cleaning, or is there a cleaning service there at the lake?
Yeah, what I do is I have a service, and if they want to use them, I have a service that they can meet, and they'll skin them and clean them, bag them, and send them home, freezer bags for them.
Right, right. I don't know if it's that way down where you're at, but we've gone catfishing here in the Northwest a couple different times, and you'll put them in a cooler and keep them cooled down, a little bit of water. And then probably to transport them, we put them in a burlap bag and don't have them in as much water. And, you know, they're just a bag of fish, and you drop them in the sink when you get home to clean them, and they start swimming again. I mean, these are the most incredible creatures I've ever seen in my life. And
they really are.
Yeah. Yeah, they endure a lot, and so having a service clean them for you is it's fun to clean one, but not cleaning 100. I mean,
that's
a lot of work. But gosh, sure. The meat of a catfish is just delicious. And,
it really is. Yeah,
really can't beat it at all. So are you fishing then, 12 months out of the year, Ray?
Yeah, I think, January this year, I think, maybe it's February. We had a little bit of a cold spell, and I took some time off. I think it's February, but pretty much, as long as weather permitting. I mean, here in Texas, at least, in the Conroe, Houston area, December, it's nothing to be out there pretty much every day. I mean, we really don't get our winter until latter part of January, February.
Right.
So that's the only time it's kind of questionable, you know, what the weather's going to do for us.
Yeah. And being in Texas where you're at, I mean, even most winter days are tolerable. In most cases, and the fish are, I think, are always hungry, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they don't mind eating.
No,
unless a lot of days I'm out there with my hunting overalls on, my insulated suit, and it's just fine.
Sure.
But once again, as long as it ain't in the 30s and the wind blowing 20-25 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. Fine.
Yeah, I'll be darned. So, Ray, how do people get a hold of you if they would like to talk with you more about booking a trip on Lake Conroe or about the fishing there and their plans for, their time in your part of the world?
Sure. Appreciate it. They can visit my website, fishingguidelakeconroe.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fishingguidelakeconroe.com. My email is Ray Hunt, that's HUNT, Ray Hunt Guide Service at gmail.com. And they can even call me direct. I'm talking to you on my cell right now, 713-204-7838. 713-204-7838.
Perfect. And these contact numbers and information will be in the show notes of the podcast for those that are listening. And so if you just go to the podcast channel that you're on and look up the show notes, Ray's information is right there. And like Ray was saying, if would like to book a trip, give him a call first, talk about what's hot and what to expect that time of year that you're coming. And you're going to have a great time. I mean, there's just a ton of fish in Lake Conroe, and there's Ray's experience on the lake and his tenure there, and just the local knowledge is just amazing. And you're quite a host when people come out there. That's what I understand.
Well, thank you. I try to be. Thank
you, Ted. You bet, Ray. Hey, Ray, thank you so much, man. I appreciate having you on the podcast today. We'll have you back maybe later in the year or something, and you can give us an update for 2024. And anyway, just tight lines to you. Safe fishing, and have the best year ever, man.
You too, Ted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.